Hello, everyone. Thanks again for joining us on another Peterson Car Story podcast. I am Daniel, and today I am with the president of Hemmys, which is the world's largest collector car marketplace, Jonathan Shaw. Welcome.
Thank you, Daniel. It's awesome to be here. Thrilled to talk with everybody at Car Stories and you know, through that talk with you. And I was just mentioning, I was just out at the Peterson Museum 3 weeks ago for my first trip. Out there, saw the Corvette racing exhibit. It was a sight to behold. Just so much automotive history in one place. The Peterson is really special, and I would urge everybody to go check it out.
Appreciate that. I'm glad you had a great time. So you are the president of the company. What is your day-to-day operations looking like?
Gosh, it's so funny. I tell everybody, you know, across the company, and especially people that are coming in new, yeah, we may be celebrating our 70th year next year, but it's a startup, right? You know, it is in a brand in transition and a brand in growth. You know, when I came in, when I started consulting with Hemmys in 2019, it was really to build the auction product, and it was, you know, a need in our marketplace where we saw a shifting landscape and how people wanted to buy and sell cars. My background is in digital product development. And you know, have a long history with cars, which I'm excited to talk about. But you know, I kind of run the gamut from, you know, we have three different magazines we produce every month in Hemmys Motor News, Hemmys Muscle Machines, and Hemmys Class Car Magazine. We've launched our YouTube channel and have over 22,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel now, which has kind of all grown this year. With five new series against the channel, which is really exciting. Running the gamut there from sports and exotic car with Jethro Bovington, who's a Top Gear U.S. host. Mike Musto is a host for us on Tested Muscle. Well, we've got build shows. It's really kind of everything, and it's been a real treat for me to come in and bring my digital product and digital media background to a company with such an amazing brand. I mean, the most valuable part of our business outside of our employees is the brand. And, you know, we're celebrating our 70th year next year, which, as you know, you don't stay in business for 70 years without taking care of your customers and doing something right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm here to build upon that and to listen to our customer needs. And we've got some really cool products coming up this year that are all based around, you know, filling customer needs and kind of the changing landscape of the collector car marketplace world and adapting to that in a digital way. It's a really fun job to have. I can say I've got logoed everything all throughout my house. And I've never kind of devoted myself to a company and a brand like that before. My truck's logoed out in Hemmys and everything. And I just love what I do.
Yeah. Seems like you're nonstop, but like you mentioned, 2024 is going to be an iconic year for you, celebrating this 70th anniversary. You hit on a little things to come, but can you tell us what you're most excited about, what you're going to be rolling out, features or services?
Yeah, sure. So on kind of the customer front, I'm really excited to get back into our live event series. You know, we've held a Muscle Palooza event, which is drag racing, a muscle car show from everything from kind of pure classic muscle cars all the way through to modern muscle. And we're going to regionalize that this year. So we're hosting four Muscle Palooza events in California, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio this coming year. And so I'm excited to get back on the road and interact with our customers and our fans and the people who've been loyal to the brand for a really long time, and really excited to engage with folks who are new to the brand as well. So I'm really pumped about that and getting back out and hosting events. I think the other piece is from my kind of digital product world, we're developing a suite of products onto our marketplace that we call the Frictionless Marketplace. So sitting with our team in Vermont and listening to all the calls they get every day of people trying to buy and sell collector cars. And I sat there in the first few months that I was with Hemmys and just wanted to listen. I wanted to hear all the successes, but also all the challenges, and figure out if there's a way that we can develop a suite of products that make it really easy kind of eliminate every single barrier to entry and exit to owning a collector car. What can we do? What could we build? And so we've got Hemming Shipping right now integrated into the site, which we've got an awesome partner that runs a marketplace for us with all, you know, verified and quality shippers for collector cars. We've got our Hemmings Insurance Marketplace with several different carriers under that, which people can get, you know, quotes in real time while they're trying to buy or sell, you know, be on the buy side of buying their car to figure out the right coverage. And then we have Hemmings Valuation, which is a really unique tool. So, you know, there's lots of sites that aggregate tons of data about sale prices and current market conditions, which we use as well. But there wasn't anybody that was valuing your specific car. So we launched Hemmings Valuation, and we, you know, the individual, it's a personalized valuation. So the individual submits a description and several photos of their car. And then we are experts on our marketplace side. We have four different research experts that pull comps for the car. And so when at the end of that, you get a full PDF printout of a valuation of kind of current market condition based value for your car. So that's another excellent product, and it informs both people who are trying to buy a specific vehicle. You know, they submit the description and information they have, and we tell them, hey, here's a relative price for what you should pay in a couple of different arenas of marketplaces. And then it's also for the sell side, so that sellers can know, hey, you know, now is the right time to sell your car, or they may find out holding it for a little bit longer might be the right decision for them.
Wow. Sounds very exciting. How does Hemmings stay relevant with the younger crowd, the younger audience? You mentioned YouTube. I know you do a little series called President Picks. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So President's Picks is really fun for me to do. I go into the marketplace, and every single week I pick out five of my favorite cars that are in our marketplace. And I usually tend to stick to the cars that are in either our online auction and coming up in the next 2 weeks, or in our make offer product, because we verify a lot of information about those cars. And so that's why I kind of tend to stick with those vehicles from those two marketplaces for us. And I just pick out, I try to pick really diverse cars. So, you know, leaning into my interests, but also understanding, you know, there's plenty of tastes out there that aren't my interests. My interests are, you know, kind of classic SUVs and muscle cars. I've got a 76 K5 Blazer that's finishing a long restoration that nice. I'm really excited about. Might show up at Christmas this year, so I'm really excited to get behind the wheel of that. Unfortunately, I live in a part of the country that we don't have to use a lot of salt on the road, so I think I'll be able to enjoy it right away. But you know, you mentioned staying relevant, and we've got to do that in a multitude of different ways. Hemmings is both a marketplace company and a media company, and from the media side, what's really changed from your traditional print magazines, which we still have, you know, 350,000 paid subscribers on the print side of the business across our three magazines. You've really got to push yourself into where the consumer is now, and you've got to be a multimedia player. So, you know, we got into YouTube to show the brand in motion. And I think that's what a younger audience wants to see. They want to see the authenticity from a brand, you know, touching, feeling, driving, getting behind the wheel, smoking the tires, building a car. You know, that's really why we started that. And that, a lot of that content bleeds over into our social and Instagram and Facebook and Reels and everything that we're doing. So, you know, from the media side, you've got to start pushing yourself out there. You know, the traditional way is the push versus pull model, where, you know, somebody's not going up to the, you know, not as many younger people are going up to the magazine rack and pulling your title off to the shelf. You've got to push yourself into their newsfeed wherever they're consuming. And so we've got to create content that entices them. We've got to create content that's about cars that they're interested in. That's part of the reason we relaunched the Sports and Exotic video series. You know, the first car we did was a Nissan GTR Skyline, the Godzilla JDM car. We've got a first-gen Dodge Viper coming up on that series. So it's about picking and curating the cars for the right audience and the right medium to stay relevant on the media side of the business. On the marketplace side of the business, what we're finding and what I believe is that people want ease of transaction and they want transparency. So part of building this frictionless marketplace and all these marketplace services was really kind of the Amazonification or the prime of our mm-hmm. industry, and trying to make it so easy that somebody literally goes in, they find the car they want, they can get the price they need, they get it shipped to their house, they buy it through Hemmings first, they ship it to their house, they insure it through Hemmings Marketplace. And we're just trying to make this so bundled and easy that it really does remove every single barrier for them.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing a really great job, and I can't wait to see what's about to come for 2024. But right now you're in Las Vegas, you're for the SEMA show, and you're having a theme at your booth, same legacy, new look. What can people see at your booth? And I believe you're revealing a car, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. We've got this beautiful 1956 Ford F600 truck. It's called Kingpin. It was designed by Classic Car Studio. It is an amazing truck. And I have a little bit of my own history with 56 F100s. I didn't even know F600s existed. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a hot rodder, and a little bit of my car history share there. But we worked on and built together a 1956 F100 step side pickup, and so it's almost the exact same color as the Kingpin truck from Classic Car Studio. So the second I saw the truck, I was like, yes, that is the truck for our booth. So it's already got, you know, show opened an hour ago. It's got huge crowds around it already. But to the same legacy, new look really speaks to, you know, we're the same company that we've always been from the customer service. We were the original collector car marketplace. We were the original collector car community back when Ernest Hemmings printed a 4-page pamphlet and mailed it to 100 friends who were Model A and Model T enthusiasts. Here we are 70 years later, and we've got 30,000 vehicles in our marketplace, but it all comes back to customer service. Putting the customer first, making sure that they're able to interact with the community together, read stories about, you know, living this lifestyle and being part of this hobby. You know, we've got new brand logos, new look. And I think we struck this amazing balance with our new logos, new brand colors, new tagline, driven by drivers, which really speaks to what we're all about. We struck this fantastic balance through the kind of year-long process of going through this, of paying homage to our past and creating a logo that would be enticing and brand color package that would be enticing to a younger, more digitally savvy audience. And that's not an easy thing to do. And we had an amazing team with us on working on that. And we're just thrilled with how it turned out. So same legacy of customer service, new look for the brand. We're really excited for the 70th anniversary this year.
I really hope you have a great SEMA show, and I'm sure you will. Just shifting gears right now, you kind of mentioned building the Ford F-150, I believe, yes.
Yeah, it was at F-100 back then. F-150 hadn't come out yet, so they were still in the 100s. Yep, Ford F-100 with my grandfather, yeah.
But what was your first automotive memory that you can remember?
That is so awesome that you asked that question. So my very first automotive memory, and I'm going to buy this truck one day and redo it, and this is so vivid, it's crazy. If I close my eyes and picture it right now, I can still see it. Climbing into my parents, I think it was a 1988 Jeep Grand Wagoneer, you know, gold on the outside, wood paneling down the side. I remember this crimson corduroy interior. And my sister had just been born. She was really close to me, and my mom was carrying her around. And I would have to climb up into this thing. And it just felt like a massive monster truck at the time, you know, to me at 4 years old, climbing into it. But I absolutely love that Jeep Grand Wagoneer. And it's on my bucket list to buy for sure and redo it. And I that is my earliest automotive memory. So that probably speaks to why I'm into classic SUVs a lot.
Yeah, wow. That's actually one of the better responses we ever had on car stories. Yeah, that's really good. And those are really awesome cars. You're starting to see a lot more of them on the road, at least here in Southern California, you know.
Yeah. And then beyond, you know, beyond kind of that memory, you know, my grandfather was an American hot rodder, you know, classic cars, 32 Deuce Coupe, 54 Bel Air, 56 F100 pickup truck. I learned to drive on the all original 1954 Bel Air. You know, it was a two-door sport coupe. I think at that time it was the original Power Glide transmission from Chevy. It was a two-speed automatic. I think that was the original automatic. Somebody's going to comment and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure. But I believe that was one of the first automatic cars out there. I learned to drive on that car when I was 15 with my learner's permit. No power steering, mechanical brakes. It was a unique experience to learn how to drive on that for sure, but one I'll always remember.
You took the next question already, but what was your first car that you learned how to drive on?
I can offer an answer that'll change it up a little bit. So I went back to a Jeep. My first car was a 1996 Jeep TJ that I put a lift kit on and spent entirely too much time in high school working on, but it was probably a good place to use my time that and playing sports and going to school as far as, you know, keeping me out of trouble. So I loved, you know, here being here at the SEMA show, seeing all the tricked out lifted Jeeps and everything kind of takes me back to that time too.
Do you collect any cars currently?
So I don't have a collection, something I'm certainly working toward. It's really hard to be in the marketplace business and keep yourself on the sideline. I can tell you there's been more than one occasion that I've really wanted to push in. But right now kind of focus on my three, I've got three young kids and beautiful wife. So kind of focus on getting the family set up right now. I've got the 76 K5 Blazer. That is kind of my one right now. Through Hemmings, I'm exposed to tons of cars that we have both in our museum and some of our project cars. So when I get up to Vermont, I get to drive around some really neat stuff. So I have access to some really amazing cars, but no collection for me yet, but kind of making a list. And I think as I get a little older, I'll be in the purchase seat, I hope.
You being part of the marketplace, and we ask this question to everyone, I'm not trying to put you on the hot seat or anything, but what's your opinion on the EV market?
Yeah. So really interesting time to have this discussion around the EV market. In fact, when I was walking in this morning, I saw companies like Electric GT, Kindred Motorsports, I saw Tremec that are all doing kind of EV conversions right now. Mm-hmm. And I think they've got a place in the industry for sure. You know, I don't want to see internal combustion engines go away. They're such a part of our history. I think that there's alternative fuel options and different ways that, you know, you can get some, you know, more environmentally friendly, you know, solutions out there. I think EVs are part of the market and the conversion piece for the aftermarket for sure. You know, I would hate to see us walk away from internal combustion engines. I think there's options to create great fuel economy with them and you know, stretch their life and even do fuel conversions on existing engines for the future. From the kind of manufacturer OEM standpoint, you know, I think we saw some rumblings last week that you know, EV sales were dropping off by quite a bit. There was a lot of recidivism of people who had bought EVs going back to internal combustion engines. I think if EVs in kind of our daily driving life are going to have a future, we've really got to get the network right. You've got to get the charging network right first, because it's worrisome when you get behind your car, you know, not knowing how you're going to charge up if you're going on a long drive or how long that battery is going to last. I think more time, more network development will be beneficial in the EV space for sure.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I think it's all about the network is the most important thing, just from my personal experience using EVs. Another question we tend to ask people is, and it sounds like you kind of do, but do you follow any motorsports at all?
Yes, I do. So I worked in NASCAR for quite a period of time right out of college. So I kind of followed along with NASCAR in the kind of early 2000s period. I'll say I probably, like everybody else, caught the F1 bug when Drive to Survive came out on Netflix. And, you know, I was a F1 fan way back when, you know, Jordan was racing with the snake, you know, on the front wing of the car. I loved that car. My brother was a huge David Coulthard fan in the West, in that Silver West car. So kind of grew up with that, but have gotten a little bit more back into F1. I'm disappointed that I have to leave Las Vegas this Friday because the race is next week. I wish I could just bundle it all together and stay and be here for the race next week too.
Who do you root for?
I like Carlos Sainz. I love his attitude. He seems really genuine, super fun. I really like Sainz. So he's probably my guy right now for sure.
Okay. But yeah, I don't want to take any more of your time. I know you're a busy man, but what would you like the audience to know about Hemmings?
I would love for people to know that we're here for them. And if they have a question, well, you know, we've got real people behind our emails, behind our phones, to reach out to us. If you're looking for something and you don't know what to buy, we've got, you know, 30,000 different vehicles on our site running the gamut from, you know, modern exotics all the way back to kind of first edition Ven 1, you know, stuff, you know, all the way back to the brass era. You know, we're here for people. We've built a marketplace that, you know, can, number one, solve a lot of challenges that exist right now so they don't have to feel alone. And if you're on the periphery and you just want to get into a product, sign up for an email of ours on Hemmings.com. And, you know, we send 10 million emails a month, Daniel. It's mind-boggling, the scale of the company. The community is here. And one of the biggest things I love about the collector car community is no matter if you've been in it for decades and you've got a family history of being a part of it, or if you're new and you're brand new to the collector car area and you just want to learn, I think Hemmings is an awesome entry point because we've got products for everybody.
Perfect. Jonathan Shaw, thank you for your time. And thank you, everyone, for joining on another Peterson Car Stories podcast. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you so much, Daniel. If you haven't been to the Peterson, go check it out. Thanks for listening, Car Stories audience. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.